chapter 7, and we're looking at verses 37 through 39 as we just take this 1 and 2 and 3 verses at a time to look at how Jesus is working and speaking and sharing among the people of his day. And we know that right now the setting is that he is at the Feast of the Booths, or the Feast of Tabernacles at Jerusalem. All of the known world and all of the Christians, or all of the Jewish people from all over the world had come to the feast. And he finally had gone up. Remember, his brothers were chiding him and telling him that he needed to go up there and show his miracles and do the things that he did if he really was the one he said he claimed to be. So he does go up. He goes up later, but he sits, and he sits in the temple and he teaches, and the people listen and they're amazed at how he teaches. But the time came when he no longer is teaching, and he stood up. He sat down to teach back then. I kind of like that idea. But he stood up because he was now going to make a proclamation. And it was at the end of the feast, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But let's pray first that God will open his word to us. Father, thank you for this time this morning. We do want to hear from your Spirit. We do want to know what your Spirit has to say to us concerning our lives and our walk, and Father, your life in us. So we just pray that we might be open. Spirit will open our minds, our hearts, our ears, our eyes, to see and to hear and to respond. That, Father, we may walk with you closer, that we may have a relationship with you that is developing and growing each day, and that your love flowing through us might be more positive every day. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for your Spirit who's here in each one. Thank you, Father, that we are gathered in your name, and may we truly now listen for what your Spirit will say. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture goes like this: Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." He has been teaching them, number one, I bring a message to you from heaven. That which I speak to you, that which I say to you, that which I teach you is from the Father above. It's a heavenly message. Not only did I bring it to you from heaven, but I came from heaven myself, having been one with the Father and He with me. I am the bread of life. He that partakes of me, who eats my flesh and drinks my blood, shall go into eternity with me. I am life. I am light. I am the Messiah. I have come. And I have come to bring hope. You know, when I read these scriptures over and over and I hear what Jesus is saying and I hear and see his love to the people and his concern and how even though they turn on him, even though they reject him, even though they hate him, he continues to tell them in love the great message that he brought to bring, and that is that God loves them and God desires to save them from sin and from unrighteousness. And he'd been teaching this all week. And now he is saying as he stands up, come to me if you're thirsty. come to me if you have need. And the Pharisees were very angry with him. They were out to get him because, as they saw it, he was a blasphemer. He was bringing it a threat to their way of life. He was bringing a message that was contrary to the one they were teaching. And they hated him for it, and they wanted to destroy him. But as it went through, he stood in their midst and he taught them. And nobody touched him. Nobody laid a finger on him. And now at the end of the feast, he makes a proclamation. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Note here that he's no longer teaching, but rather he is standing and he is proclaiming in the last day. And I thought, well, okay, why would he do this? And why would he do it on the last day? Why didn't he do this earlier? Well, he had laid the foundation earlier in his teachings. And now he would call them to the one who is from heaven. He would call them to the one who has the message from the Father. He would call them to the one who has the saving grace. He would call them to the one who has mercy and love for them. He would call them to the one who could fix their issues and solve their problems. He would call them to the one, and that one was he himself. To he himself. Each day, as we remind ourselves of the situation that he was in, each day, for 7 days, the people went down to the Pool of Siloam and they got water in their silver pitchers and they brought it up to the temple. And as they came to the temple and into the temple, they poured out the pitchers onto the altar. And all the while that they were doing this, they were singing Psalms 103 through 118. Now I thought, wow, they would have to know that by heart, wouldn't they? If they're singing while they're going out to get the water, and they're singing as they come back, and reminding themselves through this portion of Scripture, refreshing their memory, if you will, about the history of God's dealing with them as children, from the Passover to deliverance, from judgment to the crossing of the Red Sea, their wilderness wanderings, and their preservation by God. And they have this all memorized, and they're singing it as a song. It's a song to be sung. I thought, wow, wouldn't that be worth memorizing? You know, the Lord constantly tells us to remember. Remember what I've done for you already. Remember how many times I have saved you. Remember how many times I have been there to help you through an incident in your life. Remember how many times I have answered your prayers. Remember. And we know that as a human race, we're kind of slow to remember. Each new event brings new fear. Each new situation brings new concern. And we forget. We forget what he's already done. But he calls us, as he did them, remember from whence you came. Remember, I saved you out of the darkness and brought you into the light. Remember that I saved you from this habit or that habit. I saved you from death. I look back over my life, and it's just absolutely amazing. Simple things, yet could have been deadly things that happened in my lifetime. I remember as a boy, I loved to climb trees. Any boy here that didn't love to climb trees? I loved to climb trees. We had a lot of trees on our property. We had a lot of Actually, they were fruit trees, a lot of them, and some of them were not, but a lot of them were. We climb up these fruit trees, and one thing about old fruit trees, and these were old fruit trees, because they'd been on this farm for forever and ever and ever. And so when you get an old fruit tree, one of the things you know about it is that the limbs are brittle. They're not as pliable as a nice young tree. On a young tree, you can grab a hold of the limb and you can swing down and the limb will bend down and you find yourself hanging off this thing while it's bending and moving. But the old ones don't do that. It's kind of like our bones. When we were young, things happened to us and we were in positions where you say, I don't understand why that arm wasn't broken. I don't understand why that leg wasn't broken. I don't understand how that happened and you had that fall and you're still okay. When we have it at our age, some of us, now it'd be broken in two or three places because our bones get brittle. Well, trees like that. So anyway, I love to climb trees. And one tree that I loved especially was right above an area where my folks had made a play area. And in that play area was this sandbox. Now, I call it a sandbox, but actually what it was a huge area which had sand in it, and Pat and I were talking about Simone loving sand, loving to go to the beach and play in the sand. We did too, but here was this place, but it was all surrounded by cement. So I would climb up in the tree, and we'd be up above this whole thing, and just having a great time. Well, I fell out of the tree, and I fell onto the cement down below with my face. Broke one tooth completely out. Why is that all that happened? Why didn't I lose my life? Why was it just a matter of a tooth? My head hit the cement, falling from a tree. I look back and I know, because God had a whole lot of things for me to do, and I wasn't going to go anywhere until those things were done. I'm still here, still doing them. So are you. You do not have the knowledge, nor do I, to know how many times we've gotten in our automobile and we're running late to a situation and we're fussing over it because we're late, and we are late because God said, I want you late because there's going to be an accident up here and I don't want you in it. Do you think God's in that kind of control? I do. In our lives, we have all kinds of events that happen. And some of them are very stressful. Some of them are very hurtful. And some of them tend to last quite a long time. The question is, in the middle of all of that, do we hear His voice when He says, come to me? Come to me. I'm out there flailing around trying to figure out how to work my way through this problem. And Jesus is saying, Ken, just come to me. Trust me. Come to me. You know, and that's we have that every day. You and I have that every day. Those things that happen to us, things that are going on in our lives. And we must come to Him and find that He's the solution to the issue, and that He'll walk us through the most harsh times in our lives. And we can rejoice in Him. We can praise Him, even when circumstances would tend to cause us to want to give up. Psalms 103 and 107 was a reminder to these people of how they came out of Egypt, how they went through all that they went through to finally end up in the land. And they were remembering that. They were thinking about that. Their minds were filled with this. They were understanding, and they were bringing the water up, and they were going through the traditional things that they would go through, and they were singing God's praises over these wonderful, wonderful deliverances that God brought in their life. Now, I'm not much one for a lot of tradition, but I think that sometimes we miss out when we don't. Because I think sometimes traditions are good. And it gives us an opportunity to remember. Today is a day of remembrance. We're going to come to the table of the Lord. And we want to remember all that He's done for us and all that He's doing for us and what He is yet going to do for us, because their mind was not only on the past, but on the future. The coming kingdom of God and what God was going to do. They were filled with both the past and the future. And as they came up into the temple, they poured the water on the altar, and this was done for 7 days. But on the eighth day, the last day, this is the day now, that Jesus stands up, the great day of the feast, they did not go down to the pool for water. Instead, this was a day for expecting great things to happen. Wonderful things to happen. They were waiting to see what would happen on the eighth day. And this is the day in which Jesus stood up in the middle of all of this and cried out, "If anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink." If anyone is hungry, if anyone is thirsty, if anyone has need, come to me and drink. Because he who believes in me, as the scripture said, from the innermost being will flow rivers of living water. It is not surprising that a little later in the passage, we find that the policeman who had come down to pick up Jesus from the temple said this, "No man has ever spoken like this before. Never has a man spoken this way or the way that this man speaks. He's different. There's something different about him." They had heard rabbis teach. They had heard teachers teach who daily taught in the temple. But this man was different. And how true that was. Because this man was the Son of God. This man was God's Son. If any man thirst, you know, if there is a person that has no craving of heart, no thirst, I'd like to meet him. Because everyone has a thirst of some kind. Some are thirsting today after wealth. Some after popularity, some for pleasure, some for position. And God has so made man that he will never be satisfied except with an eternal truth. Eternal truths. If any man thirst, I'm reminded of another passage by John, and it's in John 6:37. "All that the Father gives to me will come to me, and no one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out." I will not cast out anyone who comes to me. If any man thirst, you know, this is not the voice of a man in this proclamation. This is the voice of one who is the heart of God, giving the pleading of the heart of God to mankind in its sin, in its lack of peace, in its lack of joy, in its lack of blessing. "Come unto me," he said. One of the things I fear more than anything else, and I do fear some things, but one of the things that I fear more than anything else is that I ever get to the point as a human being who loves God, that I begin to dismiss how much he loves me and dismiss how much he wants me to come to him over everything. Over everything. Have you lost a best friend? Have you lost a husband? Have you lost a wife? Have you lost a family member? Have you lost a very dear friend? Have you lost someone in your life that's been very important to you? And there's a hunger in your heart. There is a thirst in your heart. There is a desire in your heart. Then Jesus says, come to me. Find your peace there. Find your joy there. Find your strength there. Find your salvation there. I am the one. I'm the one. And if you'll come to me, his promise is, I will never cast you out. I will never say no to you. I will never throw you away. Now, it's also interesting to me that he says, if any man thirst. It gives us a very important picture here, and that is, no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son will reveal him. If you have a desire to know God, if you have a desire to grow in him, if you desire for him, if you are hungry for him, if you can't get enough of him, if you spend your time in the Word and you spend your time in prayer and you go to Bible studies and you go everywhere, you're seeking more and more and more of God, he says, come to me and I will reveal him to you. Come to me and I will reveal him to you. May I say this? In all respect of every preacher across this country, preachers can't reveal anybody to anything. They can simply teach the truth. And then when you come to Christ, Christ can then open up your mind and your heart and reveal the Father and his love and mercy to you in a way that no one else can. Praise God for the faithfulness of those who preach the truth. But the reality is, the revealing comes from the Son, so that people will know who the Father is. Just see the Son. All he wants from us, he says, if any man thirst, and I'm so glad he said any man, because that means any of us, any one of us, we all have the same opportunity to come to know Christ. And all he wants is that we are thirsty. If we want a satisfying life, come to him. If we want an eternal life, come to him. If we want pardon or forgiveness or peace, come to him. Come to him. Now, I want you to remember, we just studied not too long ago the woman at the well. When Jesus met with her and talked with her, and Jesus said to her, anyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. Talking about the well that they were sitting around, and she had come out to get water. You remember she brought her water pots to the, and Jesus said, he began to talk about the water he provided. And he said, if you'll eat or drink of this water, then you'll never get thirsty again. Well, she still didn't quite understand. She thought that if she drank of the water he was talking about, that she would never have to come and draw water at the well again. And she was still thinking of externals. But the message was internal and deeply spiritual, because he's talking to her of a life in which the thirst, that constant thirst and that constant hunger, is filled completely and totally. And he said, whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. Now notice the last part of verse 14 there. The water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. Now, where there is an intake, there is an outflow. All right? Otherwise, the water gets stagnant. If you have a little pond in your field, and you happen to have a field, and you have a little pond there, and there's water flowing into that pond and it continues to fill up and then evaporate and so on and so on, but there's no outlet, that water becomes stagnant. But if you opened it up and let the water flow out one side of it, and you have water coming in fresh from this side and water going out that side, then it's always fresh. And the promise of Jesus is, if you come to me in your thirst, I will give you to drink, and what will happen is, as I keep giving you that which you will drink and that will satisfy your thirst, there will also out of you now flow water, blessing, the Spirit's blessing, on those around you, the parched ground around you. You know, when you stop to think about it in terms of ground, out of the literally, out of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ flows into you the Spirit, who then lives out that life through you as a spiritual impact upon those around you in this world. And this world is like the desert. It's parched. People are thirsty for all kinds of things. People can never get enough. No matter what it is that they go after, once they get it, it's never enough. And then they start looking for something else. And Jesus is saying, you who allow the Spirit to come into your life because you've come to me, out of your life will flow life-giving hope to others. People who are thirsty and hungry, down and out, your life will begin to show that. Now, right where you live, listen, think, wherever you live, whatever you're doing in life, every day of your life, when you get up in the morning, when you get out into the public in the morning, whether it's in your home or whether it's out in the streets, wherever you go to work, wherever it is that you are, as the rivers flow in, the rivers will flow out. And those around you will be blessed. And perhaps for the first time see hope or light or faith that can change their entire life because the river has flown in and out of you, his children. Just quickly before we go to our Lord's table, I want to remind you of Peter. Peter was quite a man. We always kind of talk about his downside, some of his failures and so on and so forth. But you know, when I look at him, I just see the average man. It's where he is. Along comes the Lord Jesus Christ and says to him, come follow me. Of course, he had to teach him a little bit first. But he said, come follow me, and he did. And things were tough. Things were hard. Jesus was being hated by a lot of people. And the time came when they took him. They took Jesus, and Peter followed a little further behind. And he was standing around the fire trying to warm himself while Jesus was in the judgment hall. And a little maid came up to him and says, oh, you're a Galilean. You must be one of his disciples. And Peter responded, no. I don't know the man. And he cursed. How many times did he do that? three times. Surely you're the one. I think I saw you following him. No, 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 wasn't me. Wasn't me. It must have been you. You were there. I know you were. No, 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 I don't know the man. Cursing each time. Rejecting each time. Now that's Peter without the water of life flowing through him. Now, along comes Pentecost. The Spirit of God comes on Peter. Now what do we see him doing? Well, first of all, he spoke to the multitude, and 3,000 were saved in Acts chapter 2. Then he spoke again to another crowd, and 5,000 were saved in Acts 4. And then he spoke before the Sanhedrin, the very people, the same men that put Jesus to death, and he accused them of killing the Prince of Peace. Wow, what a difference in a man in whom the Spirit of God flows into and out of. So easy to see that difference. And you know, when you and I read the Bible and we read these accounts, we often think to ourselves, why can't I be like that? Why can't I be more outgoing? Why can't I stand in the face of my enemies and talk to them about the Savior and what they've done to him? Why can't I talk to them about their sin? And the answer is, somewhere along the line, we have failed to go to Jesus and ask him to fill us to overflowing with his Spirit so that it might flow out freely to those around us. Listen, right where you're sitting this morning, ask yourself the question, do you think or do you worry about what people think about you? Be honest with yourself now. Really honest. Do you worry about what people think about you? What they might say about you? What they might think you are if you happen to speak out about the Lord? How they might reject you if you talk about God? Are you worried about that? Then you need to go before God. And you need to go before the Lord and you need to tell the Lord, this is fear in my life, and you said you did not give me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I want your Spirit flowing through me. And I want to be able to talk about you no matter where I am. I want to be able to live your life no matter where I am. I want people to see Jesus no matter where I am. And I want to quit hiding behind silence, behind whatever I'm hiding behind. Oh, it's wonderful to be a Christian, and it's wonderful to have the presence of the Lord, and it's wonderful to know the Spirit of God upon my life, but I don't want anybody else to know it because they're going to reject me if they do. So I've taken the bushel basket and I've allowed it to fill up, and then I've covered it over so nobody can see. No. Let it flow. Let it flow. You're not going to live one day longer because you tell the truth than if you hide it. You know that? Not one day longer. God has already determined the day you're going home. Nobody can touch you except the Spirit of God allow him to touch you. I love that when Jesus said that. He said it, and it's true of you and I because of his life within us. When he stood before Pilate, and Pilate was talking, don't you know? Don't you answer me? Don't you know I can put you to death? And Jesus said, you can't do anything unless it's given to you from heaven to do it. What are we afraid of? We need to be challenged every day of our life. Open up. Let the light shine. Let Jesus shine. Let the rivers flow. There's always intake. There's always outflow. And the stream is always fresh. And it meets the needs of the thirsty. That's what should be true of our lives. So as we come to the Lord's table this morning, let us come opening ourselves up and truly asking God, as we remember what it cost Him for us, that we remember and that we allow His Spirit to flow freely in and through and out of us to those in this world that so needs to hear and see the love of Christ. Amen. I'm going to ask our men to come forward.